Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast, where you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one. We're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you finally make it to South America. This episode is recorded in Medellin, in Colombia. So, yeah, I finally made it to a new continent and left Europe after 4 cold years of traveling all over the continent. So it feels really good to be in a new place, a new environment, a new culture, and so on. So pretty cool. Now, a few words on Medellin before we jump to the episode of today. Medellin is considered to be probably the biggest digital nomad hub in South America. It is the most comfortable and advanced city in Colombia, for sure. I've spent over a week in Bogota, the capital, a city with more than 10 million people and no metro. The traffic was a disaster. And a few days in Armenia, in the coffee region and Guatapé. And I have to admit, Medellin is one level up as to everything that regards to comfortable life and infrastructure and all of it. It also has a metro and it has a lot of digital nomads as well, and many, many co-working places and so on and so on. So you will probably fit right in. Medellin actually has really good marketing. It is considered to be one of the most innovative cities in South America. Personally, I have to admit, I didn't see that much of the startup ecosystem just yet. And it has also been raining a lot, almost daily, for a city with slogan of La Ciudad de Eterna Primavera, the city with the eternal spring. Lots of rain. But with that said, I still recommend it. For those of you who are looking for a spot to settle down for an extended period of time, it's comfortable, it's good. I still prefer Buenos Aires, to be honest, if I had to pick a place in South America with all the chic and glamour of Buenos Aires. But Medellin is a pretty good option as well, especially because of the people. The people of Medellin and Colombia in general are probably the friendliest ones I've ever encountered. And they simply have something special. I don't know, lots of happiness and open-minded, which is pretty surprising considering how bloody and painful the past of the country was with all the narco traffics and stuff like that. It's the city of Pablo Escobar, but you will probably find it pretty safe. It's been through a nice transition. And today's episode is actually connected to a transition I've made from Europe to South America. It has to do with travel burnout, what to do when you just don't feel like traveling again, the reasons and the solutions. So I hope you find it useful. Okay, so the episode today is going to focus on travel burnout and restoring the magic of living life on the road. So surprisingly, traveling is not always a perfect ongoing emotional feeling of being high on life, especially when you travel long term. It is quite common, it's actually more common than uncommon, that the magic of traveling disappears, which results in decreased level of fun, travel fatigue, or complete burnout, emotional burnout. And this is especially true for digital nomads and people who live nomadic lifestyle, who are traveling long term, because it also has to do with the specific challenges and disadvantages of this lifestyle that we've discussed in the past. So in this episode, we will come up with the main reason for travel burnout and also supply possible solutions to deal with each of those reasons. It is worthwhile to understand that travel fatigue is something that requires active steps from your side to deal with, and your own relationship with your travel lifestyles deserves some effort and maintenance, just like in any other type of relationship. You can't really take it for granted. Now, before we move on to the article, a word of warning. The most dangerous type of travel burnout is actually the one that sneaks up on you for months without you noticing it. it happens, and it kind of sucks because you have a few months that are not so good and you just deal with it later. So let's go over some of the symptoms of infections in travel burnout, so you will discover well enough in advance. So there are different degrees and types of travel burnout, but basically, if you're bored, if you feel like every place looks like a place you've been at before, if you're unhappy, if you're constantly agitated with people or places and so on, if you're judging places and people harshly and you're wishing that you would be somewhere else, then you're either experiencing a severe case of travel burnout or you're just living a normal lifestyle. So in case you are in the normal lifestyle, keep calm and smile because we can't help you. But if you're traveling long-term with travel burnout, then we probably can. However, before we begin, we should note that travel burnout relates to a very complex and non-scientific topic, which is your psychology, probably the messiest thing out there. So the following reasons and solutions might be relevant and might not be relevant for you. It's basically only there to give you a few ideas, and you should probably, if you're experiencing this travel burnout situation, you should probably have some quality time with yourself and try figuring out things as well. And let's start with some of the main reasons for travel fatigue. So the first reason is when you are no longer in love. So just like everything else in life, something or someone or some place which is new brings a world of wonder, an experience of falling in love, you know, with something that is totally new. However, when the dust settles down, you're left with what it really is. And I'll give you a quick example. When I was traveling about 14 years ago, that was my first long-term travel. Time passes very, very fast. I was in Peru. I still remember the first few days of going to Huaraz, a city with a view on the Andes mountains, and doing a trek there. I was just shocked. I saw snow-capped mountains, which was so high that I just felt like those things cannot exist. And I remember myself staring on this mountain with a feeling of awe. And fast forward 5 months later, the same mountains, probably in another country, in Chile or wherever, and I felt absolutely nothing. So that's what it is. I'll give you another example. When I was in Belarus last year, the Soviet monuments, all those Lenin statues and everything in the street, and the atmosphere was actually amazing for me. And after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the Lenin statue was just a simple meeting place with my friend, and I actually felt nothing out of the ordinary. So the idea is that wonderful things and places stay the same, but the way they impact you gets diluted with time. We should take this under consideration. One more thing to say is that the longer you travel, the faster you get used to new environments and the faster you can feel at home. On one end, it's great because if it would take you a long time to feel at home, it will be very, very hard to have a sustainable lifestyle until you feel comfortable and at home. On the other side, it's always funny to see, for me, how the feeling of being in a new place wears down after only 1 week. I always go back to 1 week before, for example, when I first arrived to the terminal in Medellin, when everything was pretty new. And now it feels like totally regular and so on. It feels like I've been here for a very, very long time. One more reason for losing the magic is that globalism also has a lot to do with it as well. The world is becoming more and more connected, more and more comfortable, especially if you were born to the right situation, but also for others, because technology is readily available for everyone. And the world is actually becoming more and more similar, which is something that is a little bit scary. So from one end, it is really comforting to see that we have so much that connects us as humans, to see that we have the same basic tastes for style, the same aspirations, the same values. But it also brings you to a situation, and as time passes, there are less and less unique things or mind-boggling things that you can really get surprised with in different locations. There is more and more convergence into one mainstream all over the world. So the shock and awe and the uniqueness is gone, leaving you with the McDonald's, the Thai food restaurants, and the Irish pubs wherever you go. So that was the first reason for losing the magic. The second reason of travel burnout is that it's actually easier to travel than it ever was. But on the same time, it's still harder than staying at home. So when I took my first trip in Cyprus and South America more than 14 years ago, my biggest struggle was to get hold of the map of the city. That was the biggest thing that I wanted. The luxury was knowing where I am. I remember I didn't know where I am when I was walking in the street. For accommodation, I just walked with my backpack for hours and hours and knocked on doors that appeared in my sacred footprint guide, this giant book that I really love traveling with that had all the information that I had. I had nothing else. Sometimes I wouldn't find the accommodation, or the accommodation was fully booked. You never knew until you arrived there. So I found myself sleeping in the street or sleeping in the beach and so on and so on. Accidentally, I stayed in really weird places. For example, in Brazil, in Rio, I actually stayed in a brothel for a week and I didn't really understand it. There were many, many signs that, the person in the reception was shocked to see that I'm on my own, asked me for how many hours do I need. Super friendly women that were waiting at each door with very limited supply of clothes, and there were also mirrors on the ceiling, but I just thought it Brazilian style of accommodation until a friend actually told me that it wasn't. So many, many weird things happened, and that's exactly the point. The uncertainty made you travel on some kind of a survival mode that could easily break you to pieces because of all the uncertainty. But on the same time, it gave you something that is very, very difficult to encounter now, which is the uncertainty part of it, of travel. There was extreme lack of information back then that gave you a sense of adventure and an adrenaline rush when things actually worked out, because you never knew if it's going to work out or not. And especially you got the adrenaline rush when things didn't work out and got messed up miserably. Today, technology is really leveling the ground. And, you start with knowing your location on Google Maps with the GPS, to accommodation sites where you can actually book with almost zero surprises, just like booking.com or Airbnb. You have social apps for any goal and style, like Couchsurfing and Meetup. You have transportation app like Uber and BlaBlaCar that I started using frequently recently. And the list goes on with things that make your life easier and a lot more efficient as you travel. The internet constantly offers you fresh information. Everything is known. Most things are hacked and they're out there. But when you get really, really good at it, it can get a little bit boring. Now, this is one reason for travel burnout or the loss of magic. There is, I would say, probably for the loss of magic as you travel when it becomes boring. On the other end, you can experience travel burnout because traveling is still quite an adventure, especially when you just start. Travelers deal with a lot of uncertainties that technology still can't fix, and I hope it will never be able to fix. All those transitions between one place to another will kind of put you in an emotional roller coaster of good and bad moments. And too much of that, of this mess going on in your life with the constant changes, would also adversely affect you, especially if you don't catch it in time. As we mentioned before, it is really important to understand that you're experiencing travel burnout when you do, and not a few months after. The third reason of travel burnout is that you can't run away from yourself. So travel is absolutely great for changing your surroundings. It sometimes allows you an amazing escape from your life circumstances, but whatever you try, there is nothing you can do to escape from the nutcase who travels with you everywhere. And I'm saying I tried a lot of things. For example, even if you get drunk, the nutcase always stays there. So you should be aware of that. You can escape from your surroundings and from some of your circumstances, but you're always going to be with yourself. Travel will expose you to the most deepest fears and the biggest points of friction you have with yourself and with the world. When you're lonely, when you have bad relationships with the people that you meet and that are in your life, when you're stressed for cash, when you're facing health problems and many other human conditions which you will encounter if you travel long term, just like you would encounter if you would stay at home. So if you're not in good terms with yourself, long-term travel will expose you even more than the regular lifestyle to those friction points. And that's something you should be aware of. Now that we went over some of the main reasons for travel fatigue, let's examine some of the things you can do to deal with it. So the first thing would probably be change location and atmosphere, also known as move from Europe to South America. So the idea over here is to fall in love again with somewhere new. So just like me, if you're stuck in Europe for the last 4 years, just go somewhere totally new, like South America or Asia, and so on and so on. As we travel long term, we have the tendency to get addicted to one region on the map for several reasons: language, comfort, time zone differences, relationship, costs that we're used to, life costs. So the idea over here is to challenge yourself, go far, go somewhere new, hopefully where you've never been before. This will give you an adrenaline rush of itself with a new language, new way of life, new people, and new landscape. Now, basically the idea over here is that this transition will be kind of, substantial. So if you lost the spark, changing cities from Prague to Budapest will not do the trick. You will have to go somewhere very different. Now, the second thing you can do for travel burnout is basically to embrace uncertainty. This one is a little bit easier than done. The idea is to just get lost. For example, I love my routine of getting lost on the weekend. And it means that on certain times, you embrace uncertainty. You stay away from all this wealth of information that is readily available. You go to a place without knowing where are the major attractions. You take a super long walk in nature without much planning. You just take more risk and enjoy the mess as it happens. I'll give you an example. When I was in the Ukraine, in Odessa, I remember that one night on the weekend, I just on Friday night saw somewhere on the map and just went there, booked in the last minute on booking.com, actually a place that was kind of inactive. I got there really, really late at night. Ukraine has no infrastructure whatsoever, so it was very, very dark. I remember me walking, trying to find my place. It was close to the Black Sea. Couldn't find a place, walking for hours, calling them, didn't understand Russian, they didn't understand me. Finding a kiosk at 11 o'clock at night that was still open with the most amazing family in the world that saw someone very strange and unshaved, actually looking like a homeless person, asking them for help. I remember they gave me lots of cups of wine and told me, take it easy, no problem, no problem. They called the place. The place was non-existent anymore, although it was still on the site. And I remember traveling with them at night with their car. They took me to their home to have a drink and then later took me to find a hotel. I stayed in a 5-star hotel that was the only option in the region. They took me there and it was like an amazing experience of a total mess that I wouldn't do on a weekday because I have to work, but on the weekend, who cares? And you just get lost and some good things happen. You see really, really good people on the road, which is super cool. And those are basically things that happen if you don't plan much and sometimes do things spontaneously. Now, on this note, if you want to increase your level of uncertainty and adventure in general, pick the special places with the weird environment and stories: isolated Belarus, rapidly changing Myanmar, hectic and mind-blowing India or communist Latin Cuba coming to mind as several locations that are relatively safe, but some weird stuff is going to happen there. So if you pick one of those and you dive into a new adventure, that's going to give you the breath of fresh air that we sometimes need as we travel long-term. One more cure to the travel burnout, and it's probably the most common cure is, and the most effective one, is get more comfortable and slow down. It all depends on your style of traveling. So on the flip side of looking for excitement and uncertainty is dealing also with the lack of comfort. Travel, as we mentioned before, is still a big adventure. You're constantly exploring new places, and sometimes you have enough of cows headbutting you and money and monkeys beating you up in India. So if you're in this situation that you just had too much of excitement and uncertainty, then maybe you should consider getting back to the developed world. Europe would be a very comfortable and boring option, and enjoy the comfort and certainty that some locations offer. One less drastic change is that if you're staying constantly in dorm hostels and you're eating street food, then you should also indulge yourself and splurge in good quality hotel from time to time. Go to a nice restaurant, sleep better, exercise, put a little bit of comfort and routine into your life. Now, the main reason that, or the main cure for the travel burnout is basically to slow down. Which means that the pace of changing locations is also critical. The faster you go, the more hectic it gets. That means that you should probably customize and play around with the frequency of changing locations and opt for slow travel. We have an article about slow travel and the many benefits it has as a way to be on the road long term. So if you're doing this as a long term thing, moving slower between locations makes a lot of sense. Always remember, you're not traveling to mark checkboxes or to impress anyone. Make sure that your travel style is suitable to who you are and not to what you want others to think about you or to your ego, what your ego expects from you. Both of them don't really care. With that said, some of us sometimes get stuck in a place way too long while being unhappy, which is a tragedy. The world is too big to be stuck, and that happens because we're either too lazy or afraid. So slow travel is great. Getting stuck in a place just because you're lazy isn't. So it's all about the balance of finding your place between those points. One more cure for the travel burnout is being conscious. So yeah. That's a little bit new age or old age stuff, but if you're traveling long term, your mind is no longer blown away by the views and landscape, by new people. So you kind of have to find a way to make it blown away consciously yourself. And over here, what it means is to basically take a real look where you are. Examine and enjoy the smaller details. It doesn't always have to be a huge mountain with snow. It can be the small things. And be grateful because everyone keeps on dying and you're here, at least for now. So why not? So the idea over here is that instead of running after excitement after another and adrenaline rushes, run after fun moments in a sustainable and stable reality where you live. This is also relevant for interactions with people around you as you travel. Be curious. Force yourself to be curious, to be generous, to listen to stories, especially to the funny stories, but not only to the funny stories. And I'm going to link to an article from Marie Sojourner that wrote a wonderful post about fading travel fire. And she also recommends over here diet from your electronic devices in order to get back control over your senses. So be conscious. One more thing you can do is to do new things as you travel and change your story. So other than changing locations, it's also making very good sense to change your activities, habits, and the story, who you are as you travel. By the way, This is also relevant for those of you who haven't started traveling just yet or will never start traveling. Changing yourself is pretty awesome. Now, my travel style that we've discussed in latest episode keeps on changing. I have new habits and rules all the time. And the idea here is start doing more treks or stop doing so many treks. Start traveling with a car, do boat hitchhiking, take courses as you travel, start running, volunteer, go to museums, stop going to museums, get hosted in Airbnb and couchsurfing. And it's not only where you are, it's also who you are while you're there. The new activities and hobbies will give you a new taste to life. But the idea over here is to keep open-minded and say more yes than no. And that's helpful to do new things and also to discover what are the things that you enjoy the most. What's the point of being the same person if you're switching between locations? Change yourself as well. For me personally, I'm now a digital nomad and I'm keep on changing between digital projects, my language school and the startup ecosystem app and so on and so on. In the future, I plan to shift and actually do more offline activities, maybe diving instructor or cooking as I change locations. I'm not sure yet when it's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to this change. And at least I have a plan, which is something. So constantly think for yourself, how do I want to change? What's going to be my next evolution level as I keep on traveling? One more cure to travel burnout is to actually fix yourself and find out what is missing. So as we mentioned before, travel will not save you from yourself. It will not fix your problems. The way I see it, travel actually only increases the volume of the happy and unhappy moments in your life and the way you feel. So regardless of traveling or not, you should fix the things that worry you or bother you on a mental or physical level. Make a list, explore them. And the idea is that you need to constantly challenge yourself and figure out what is not working and fix the things that are not working also while traveling. And it also means that you have to disengage from the attachments and the anchors that are doing you more harm than good. One more thing you can do to deal with travel burnout is to either add or subtract or change your companions and social life setting. So the people that you're with are critical to how you feel. Social life for nomads can be divided into two: the people that we're traveling with and the social life that we're building as we're staying in each place. And we're losing, by the way, after. So many of us travel alone, and restoring the magic might include finding a travel companion, which is usually a nomadic partner that shares our lifestyle. Me, for example, I'm traveling the vast majority of those almost 7 years I've been alone by myself, and that's pretty cool. But in some instances, you kind of want to travel with someone as well. In other cases, for those of you who are not alone, burnout can actually arrive from traveling with the wrong people. And in this case, it makes a lot of sense to change your travel companions. Tell them that you're going for coffee and never come back. Just go solo or find someone else. So that's two points of the same side. As for the social life you're building while you're switching between places, there are many, many things you can do in order to meet both locals and tourists. I'm going to link to a few in the show notes. So one thing that was a game changer for me and my social life as I was traveling and feeling a little bit lonely was constantly using co-working spaces in order to separate work from home and meeting people. Other tools you can use are Couchsurfing, Meetup, and so on and so on, and many other sites that give you the opportunity to make friends and avoid feeling lonely. One more thing you can do is to take a vacation. Now, most of your friends and family are probably thinking you're on a never-ending, irresponsible vacation. For most digital nomads, this is very, very far from the truth. The blessing of being able to work from everywhere you want remotely is also the curse of never being able to disconnect from work. So the idea is that after almost 7 years of being on the road, I have to calculate it, I actually think it's between 6 and 7, I'm now forcing myself to go off the grid and disconnect from work for a week, quarterly, every 3 months. This is a new habit that I actually force myself to take a vacation. It's not working out so well. Actually, I skipped a few, but what can you do? The idea here is that the time spent away from the common daily worries and struggles with work and so on allow you to get back to your balance and reflect on your lifestyle and your goals. I also recommend that this is something I've been doing for a long time, to separate your weekdays from your weekend. There is a reason why the weekend is so sacred in so many religions and culture. Avoid working on the weekends and focus only on fun and relaxing. My weekend routines include traveling to a new place, preferably somewhere in nature, but yours might be totally different. Just make sure that you have a great time and you can charge your batteries for the week to come. One more thing you can do is to find meaning and become financially independent. Now, travel is amazing, but it cannot be the meaning of your life for the long term. A meaning is what keeps you going, the fire that you have inside, your goals, your legacy, or simply what you enjoy doing. Changing locations is one of the most rewarding habits there are, but you have to find something else to keep you actively going on the long term. If not, you'll simply get tired of it. The idea over here is that you should experiment, you should play around and find your thing. And then change it once in a while, because after all, being a nomad is not only about changing locations, but also building great stuff and changing the stuff that you actually do. Now, other than finding a meaning, the topic of money and financial independence that we've spoke about in the future, also in the past, and probably in the future as well, actually, also comes to mind. The world is material, and we have to consume things. So you have to make sure that you're financially independent, since freedom is a very important ingredient for happiness, especially for us nomads who treasure liberty. The idea over here is that you should have enough money to get what you need, while also adjusting your expectations to make sure you keep your travel style minimalistic, another topic that we've discussed in the past. So if you need to keep on haggling on everything, if you're avoiding experiences that you want to have just because you can't afford them, and you constantly worry about money while on the road, it will taint your traveling experience. All these worries about money, it will make it unsustainable. It will make your interactions to be not so enjoyable. So being financially independent is pretty cool, and you should aspire to it. It will help you also to deal with travel burnout. And now let's switch to the last thing you can do, the doomsday weapon, which is basically when you have the travel burnout, is to take a break from traveling and settle down. So that's the end for this episode. So this thing is basically pausing or ending your nomadic lifestyle. So sometimes in order to appreciate a lifestyle, you need to take a break and dive back into the normal lifestyle. You know, for example, I remember that when I was in China and I had a trip planned to Mongolia after 6 months of traveling, I just said to myself, I'm not going to Mongolia. And I went home instead. So sometimes you just have to know when to cut it. Travel burnout is actually so common, you shouldn't feel bad about it, that most of the top travel bloggers that I follow over the years are now settled down. They're in New York or London, they buy a house, they get married, and they stop traveling. Who knows? You might actually enjoy it enough that you decide that settling down is a good thing to do. And if not, just get back on the road. Nothing really happens. The idea is that if you settle down, you shouldn't hide it or regard it as a failure. You should feel proud for living the nomadic lifestyle for a period of time. Most people never manage to do that. And that's basically it. To conclude this article about travel fatigue and burnout, and to sum it up, a very long article, I have only one advice. Don't travel. Live. And with that said, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this long episode. We're going to have the show notes soon on the blog on becomenomad.com. Feel free to register for the newsletter and even give us a review on iTunes. I don't really know how to give a review there. I tried several times to give a review for myself and it didn't really work out, but I trust you're intelligent enough to do it. And have a great week. Bye-bye.